So here we are on the first day of Holy Week, preparing to step back into the story. This story that we will hear told throughout the week is told in a way that allows us to experience it in a particular kind of real time. Because the services of Holy Week are marked not just by the words that we use to tell them, but with extra images and symbols, and with our whole bodies, often doing things that feel a little strange, even perhaps a little silly. Today, we pretended to be in a procession as we sort of stumbled our way through the hallway, holding, let's be honest, kind of sad little palm fronds or dried crosses. Surely a far cry from the real leafy branches and cloaks that were waved on that day. But we did it anyways, silly and chaotic though it was. And then on Thursday, we will face the weirdness of having someone literally, not metaphorically, literally wash our feet. On Friday, we will say prayers of penitence and self-examination, trusting entirely on the great mercy of God to heal us and to heal our world. And we will be invited to contemplate the cross, to come forward in prayer, to lay a stone, to touch, to grieve. And then on Saturday, at the Easter Vigil, there is a literal fire, again, not a metaphorical fire, an actual fire. And then at the moment of the miracle, we will ring bells and tambourines and jangle our keys with wild abandon in an attempt to capture even a little bit of the glory of the angel's song. And none of that is play acting. None of it is a reenactment, obviously. We aren't pretending that we're standing in Jerusalem or that our attempts are actually representative of what happened that week almost 2,000 years ago. Because we are doing something much more powerful, much more mysterious, even with our flimsy symbols. We are remembering. Now you might wonder, how can we remember something that happened 2,000 years ago? Something that we ourselves haven't experienced, something that we ourselves can't possibly have any memory of. The rituals bring us into the memory of God. Catch us up into the time of God. And God's time is not like our time. Our time is pretty straightforward. Moment following moment in a predictable straight line. We do not control when we are. There is no going back to a previous moment, no matter how much we might wish to. And there is no skipping ahead to a future one, no matter how much we might wish to. We are inside time, just like we are inside space. But God is outside of time, bigger than time, beyond time. For God, every possible moment of the past, present, and future coexist. For God, Jesus is entering Jerusalem right now. For God, Jesus is saying goodbye to his friends right now. For God, Jesus is giving himself up to death on the cross right now. And for God, Jesus is being raised from the dead right now. These moments are not simply past events, but living truths. And through ritual and the grace of God, we are brought into God's time so that we might remember them for ourselves. Because the story of Holy Week is not just another story. It is the story. It is the story who makes us who we are. It is the foundational and formational memory of the community of the church, the body of Christ. And so we don't just tell this story. We live it in the rituals of this week, but more too. And more importantly too, in our lives. And it begins again today, with Jesus riding a colt into Jerusalem while crowds gather to see the man who brought health and wholeness to those who were sick and suffering, and who just might bring wholeness to their nation too. And all along the road, which has become a parade route, people cry out, "Hosanna! Hosanna!" which means, "Save us! Save us!" Part celebration of the coming of the kingdom, part protest in the face of Rome, the crowd welcomes Jesus into the city as a saving king. But Jesus knows that he is not the king they are actually calling for, knows that they do not yet understand what his kingship means. The colt is a clue. Jesus coming as the one prophets foretold, the one sent by God in humility, not to assert power or to turn the crowd into an army, but to begin the kingdom of God. And as he will tell Pilate in a few days, his kingdom is not of this world. But really, it would have been easy to lose sight of the colt in all that excitement. After all, who really cares what kind of animal the man who forgives sins, who proclaims justice, who works miracles is riding? This man has power the people need. So Hosanna, save us, they cry. But Jesus knows his power is not the kind of power they are looking for. And his salvation is not the kind of salvation they are hoping for, at least not entirely. Because they are not beyond time, they do not know what is coming. Because we are inside time, we do know what is coming. And so we know now what they will have to wait to learn. If you want to see the power of Jesus, look to the grain of wheat that in dying bears much fruit. Salvation comes to those who are willing to lose their life rather than to those who will do whatever it takes to hold on to it. We have spent the past 5 weeks of Lent sitting with that promise. We have asked God to show us what we must give up, what needs to die, so that we might truly live. We have asked God to reveal our hearts to us, so that we might be better prepared to wholeheartedly follow Jesus. We have asked God to help us answer the call to be people transformed by the power of the resurrection, by way of the journey to the cross. That journey begins today. Today we enter into God's time so that we might know Jesus' fear and sorrow and love and commitment and courage for ourselves. We remember the events of this week and we offer ourselves up to be shaped by them, to be recreated and remembered into a people who know firsthand and deep down the good news of God in Christ, that the power of God's love overcomes everything that seeks to deal death, even death itself, setting us free, calling us into the fullness of eternal life.